It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. It is 9 a.m. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Good morning, everybody. Johnny Rogers and Casey has left the building. He's got a special order of Whitfield's barbecue that he's got to prepare, head down to the 40 acres, introduce some of these new coaches to what good Texas barbecue is all about. So hope the coaches enjoy that. Do not cut the fat off your meat. Casey will boot you out real quick before you even get settled. But Casey's gone for the day, and I believe we got Ashley's on the line. Ashley, what's up?
Hello.
Good morning. How you feeling, sweetheart?
Oh, gosh, I'm finally on the mend. Nothing like starting off a new year. You know, everybody says 2021 is going to be our year.
Yeah.
After the crap show that was 2020. But anyway, January 4th started feeling achy and started feeling bad. And I just knew. So went, got tested and been down for 3 weeks.
Man. But are you out of the muck? I mean, I know that I've had other friends that have gotten it and said there's a pretty intense period for a couple of days, chills, not being able to sleep, those type of effects. How are you feeling now?
No, I'm great now. I actually got a negative test on Friday, but
great news.
Still tested positive, and so just to be safe and keep all of those around us safe, still quarantining.
Good.
So, I mean, you know how well I sit still.
Yeah.
And so a month at home, it hadn't moved on. But, I can't say I wasn't taking it seriously, because I was taking it seriously, obviously, a worldwide pandemic. But, I just this month, not only from having it, but also I've lost a couple of friends from it this month.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't take it as nearly as seriously as I should have. And, obviously not positive where we got exposed to it, but it started off just kind of achy. I never had a fever the entire 3 weeks. I never had the cough or anything like that, but I got achy, and then I just got so tired.
Yeah.
And it was like anything and everything I did would make me tired. Walking up the stairs would make me tired. And so that was just really strange. And then I just got, I actually had probably like 3 or 4 days of just mild symptoms, and I was like, oh, I'm going to kick this. And I got on a Z-Pack really early, and I was taking an antiparasitic, and I thought, I am crushing this. I'm on top of it. And then day 5 just knocked me on my butt. And I even had a couple nights where I was almost going to go to the hospital. It just got that bad. But it just really, really tired. And I got this gnarly headache for like a week, and just sleep schedule off. It's the weirdest thing I've ever been through. And I had a lot of friends say that the brain fog is just it's just unreal.
Right.
He's sitting there in mid conversation and can't complete.
Forget what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Yeah, that's just a normal morning for me and Casey. We'll be 30 seconds into a convo.
No.
And be like, what are we talking about?
Well, I'm just glad y'all, kept my name in the intro and everything.
Yeah, we ain't kicked you out yet.
Well, it's the strangest thing in the world. Well, I don't sit still, and it's like you can't leave your house for the next 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks becomes 3, and it's just
imagine being a head football coach and catching COVID and being stuck in your house and watching your game on television without you being there. I mean, Yeah, that's tough enough, and shoot, I mean, for you, I mean, again, you're right. You said a couple times, but I can't emphasize the fact you do not sit still. You are either jet setting one direction or going and supporting people and friends, and so I imagine that this has been a nice time for you to just kind of, I don't know if relax is the right word, but kind of gather everything, what's going on in your life, and a good time to reflect, and glad you're feeling better.
I wish I could say something really poetic that I've been working on, but I've got to be honest with you, Johnny. I've actually played a lot of Fortnite.
Okay. All right. So you're getting into the video guy. Okay. Because the reason this is so funny to me is because...
You know how hard it is to admit that to you?
I'm telling you, I got clowned so bad from you and Casey and a lot of my friends. Because during the COVID lockdown back in March, you know, we didn't know what was going on or what this was really all about.
Oh, yeah.
And so
a
bunch of us got PlayStations and started playing Call of Duty. And, man, you and Casey just laid, like, nerds, like, oh, you watching each other on Twitch.
Oh, dorky.
And now it has come full circle, and you are playing Fortnite. That is fantastic.
So.
Are you doing the dances?
Maybe the tippy top. Just the tippy top.
Okay. I like that.
So, I worked when I could, because fortunately I work from home, and so I worked when I could, and we have, I work for America's Mighty Warriors, which is a nonprofit organization that supports veterans and Gold Star families. Mm-hmm. And our numbers this past year have just been through the roof as far as veterans, because we support veterans with traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder from combat. So if they got injured in combat, we support them. So as you can imagine, our numbers have tripled this year as far as those needing help. And so I've been working when I could, but again, the brain fog, like Johnny, I'm sitting there halfway through an email to a client and I can't even complete my thought. I'm like, I need to get off the computer. This isn't
shut
good for me to, shut it down. And so, but I got to do something. And because of Corona, thanks to, 4 months quarantining, we've already watched all of Netflix and it's like, got to do something. So, Jake actually got into Fortnite and I was like, let me try. And the first few times it was just laughable because someone would come up at me, ready to attack me or something and I'd freak out. But now I've actually gotten pretty good.
There you go. I like it. I've actually never played Fortnite. I've only played the only games I've ever played on a PlayStation or Call of Duty and I think Madden. I think I played the NASCAR game for a little bit, but that was kind of boring. You're just going in circles. But
turn left.
Keep turning left slightly more. But the combat games are fun, especially. Do you got the headset and everything? Are you talking trash to the 12-year-olds out there?
I'm definitely not. Okay. I'm not that far. I just look baby steps.
Yeah.
But no, it's a lot of fun. Like, I mean, of course, we grew up playing Nintendo and Duck Hunt and all that good stuff.
Indeed.
Like, we definitely were into that, but. I just, the graphics are unbelievable.
Yeah. It's we have come a long way from Excite Bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Contra, Zelda.
Sorry.
Zelda was, Intellivision. You remember that console?
No.
That may have been, I might be dating myself on that one, but we had the first one I think the Rogers family ever had was an Intellivision. And I think there was like two games that, I think Pitfall was one of them. You remember the game Pitfall?
No. See, I really wasn't that into it. I mean, I was always out doing dance or cheer, and I was always outside playing. Like, I had those parents that were like, see you when the streetlights turn on.
Yep. Beat it.
You better not see you before. And if you wake up and ask me what we're going to do today, you're going to have a list of chores. So, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Indeed.
But, so we were never home. We were never inside. Yep. So it was like we were always outside building forts and playing in the woods and
ringing doorbells and running away. Ding dong ditch.
Ding dong ditch.
Hell yeah, that was the game. Kick the can, all kinds of stuff.
Kick the can.
So we got we've got a weekend of some championship football tomorrow coming up. You got the Bills playing the Chiefs. What do you think is going to happen in that game?
See, I just am such a Patrick Mahomes fan.
Yep.
I just really enjoy watching him play. And I know he got injured last week and concussion protocol. I hope he's going to be all right and be good to go for that game. So I just go Chiefs. I have to.
Yeah. And then we got Buccaneers versus the Packers. I mean, it's if you're an NFL fan and you like the quarterback position, which is about 99%, right, you got to be looking at this Buccaneers at Packers game. It's two goats going up against each other, Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think that the Bucs, I think, have a little bit more of a well-rounded team. If you know anything happens to Aaron Rodgers, the Packers are going to fold. I guess you could say the same thing about Tom Brady and the Bucs, but. What are you looking for in that matchup between two great Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
See, I'm pulling for Aaron. Pulling for Aaron. I heard him say a quote earlier in the season that his worst day is some of the quarterbacks in the league's best in their career. And I don't know. Not that I didn't respect him before and didn't have just all of the respect in the world for him and his ability, but I've just really watched him this season, and I just go Pack.
Yeah.
Go Pack. I mean, what Brady's been able to do and how the Bucs have pulled it back together at the end of the season and what he's been able to accomplish in a new culture and a new team and a new everything, you know, respect. But I'm hoping for a Chiefs-Packers.
Yeah, that'd be a fun game to watch. Yeah, and I think you look at, you know, the Tom Brady experience going down to Tampa Bay. He's got his team in a championship, and then you look at what Belichick and the Patriots are doing, and they're at home right now, and you know, to me now, the Patriots had a lot of players that opted out for the season. They were going to be down. I mean, I think they had like five starters on defense that said, all right, I'm good, you know, I'll come back next year. But what, you know, what happened to the Patriots and especially the Cam Newton experiment did not work. So, you know, you look at was the Patriots, were they just a system, you know, a Belichick system? It may have been more of a Tom Brady system than it was Belichick.
Yeah. But, yeah. Or that partnership together. I mean, because there are some duos like those two that just work. But see, Johnny, it also begs the question, and we talked about this a lot last summer and going into this season, actually into September, because, you know, we didn't play ball until later.
Correct.
Is this an asterisk year? Now that it's said and done and you know, coming to the completion with the Super Bowl coming up, is this an asterisk year?
I don't think so. I mean, if it is, I would think that the asterisk would be a positive thing because of what these teams, what organizations and what the league has been able to do in the face of a pandemic.
Right. Well, not even them, but NCAA.
Correct.
You know, I mean, Alabama in their perfect season and, I mean, absolutely rolling Ohio State in the national championship. Like, I just don't. Whereas at the beginning of the year, I thought, well, yeah, this could wind up being, you know, you've got two teams. One's played, what, 12 games and one played six?
Yeah, seven. Going into, I think seven by the time they got there.
Yeah, true. And so it's like, does this even count? Is this, but I don't know. I just think the talent, you can't deny the talent that you saw there. You can't deny that victory. I mean, I had the same thought about the NFL and the Super Bowl. It's like, well, you know, does this year count?
Yeah. I mean, yes. The answer to that question is yes, because I think, you know, even at the high school level, you ask those Westlake football players that just won a state championship, did this year count? Yes. This year absolutely counted. To the college football players, that Alabama team, you know, it was arguably, it's unfair that LSU, you know, last year's LSU team, I think anybody could say was probably one of the greatest college football teams of all time. Right.
Right.
And then they fell off
after the University of Texas football team when we beat USC.
Correct. So, you know, but this Alabama football team this year, I mean, they won the top lineman award, the top quarterback award, the top running back award, the top wide receiver award, the Heisman, the national championship. I mean, what they were able to do, broke them all. I mean, it's just incredible what those guys have done. And yeah, I mean, to them, it absolutely counts. You know, maybe Ohio State's like, maybe not.
It's not that it wasn't a worthy opponent. Ohio State rolled, you know, like they had a great seven games, like you said, came into that where I really thought it was going to be a much better matchup. But no, that was one of the best football teams we've ever seen.
Indeed.
It's been fun. I mean, that has been the one saving grace of being home for the whole month of January. You know, at least there has been a little bit of football. So
indeed, And we've got, you know, your beloved Texas Longhorns are putting together a pretty incredible staff. How are you feeling as a Longhorn watching these guys sign up to come down to Austin?
I mean, since I've been on air, since I've been at the studio because of holidays and COVID now, it's like we've got a new president, we've got a new head coach at the University of Texas.
Yeah.
Lots changing in the world. No, I'm extremely excited. You know, first I had to learn how to say everybody's name, Sarkisian, Kwiatkowski.
Yeah.
but it is so exciting. It was exciting to watch him at the national championship game do what he does. And then to know that, you know, he is keeping some of the Texas.
Yeah. Some guys on staff. Stan Drayton, one of those guys who's staying on board as the running backs coach.
And hopefully B. Carrington will be sticking around Austin. But, you know, to see that CDC wasn't messing around and, you know.
What I really enjoyed seeing was you look at even like somebody like Bijan and the current Texas players who are coming back next year.
Gosh.
He posted on Instagram a photo of himself watching the national championship, and you could hear the smile through the picture. I mean, he just, you know. Got
me chills.
Yeah, I mean, just watching what they were able to do with Najee Harris and that offense. I mean, Bijan is just got to be looking at this like next season is Christmas, right? And he's waking up and he's going to open all these new presents. I mean, it is just going to be a fun team to watch. I think it's reinvigorated the Texas fan base. You know, and
that's exactly it, Johnny. That's what there's excitement around the conversation of Texas football again. That's what was lacking. You know, and again, you and I, native Austinites, and, you know, me being a lifetime Longhorn, like we've gone through the last decade plus of what Texas football has been. And it's been tough. I mean, when you are a fan, I know Casey and I, you know, we go back and forth about this, and he actually played, but I'm the one that gets nervous on game day. It's like, we've talked about this, the passion that the fans have, this fan base has for this university and this football program. You miss that.
Yeah.
And it is hard. It's hard to bring it when you're coming on Saturday. And it's not that we were losing every Saturday. We were pulling it out by the, you know, hair of our chin every Saturday, it felt like. And yet here we've got this new breath breathed into Texas football, the program. Everything seems like just electric right now. And I really do feel like culture is what we needed.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the excitement and seeing some of these new coaches come on board. I talked about this earlier with Casey. What were you all checking Twitter when it came across that Mike Stoops was coming to the University of Texas as linebackers coach? I can only imagine the four letter words that were coming out of your house at that point. Like,
true story.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
Yeah, it was just
one of those things that it was like, we know the powers that be are going to roll this back a little bit. Someone's going to have a conversation with whomever is putting this out there and say, hey, no, we don't do that at the University of Texas. That name and this university doesn't go together yet. It was like, it's April Fool's already.
Yeah, I was like, is it April 1st already? What's going on here? Is are we getting punked here? Is Del Conte trying to punk us? You know, I think he was just trying to make sure we were paying attention. Right?
Everybody's paying attention. Trust me. Don't pull that stuff.
Dude, there's one name that should never come down here and coach at the 40 right. Acres, and that last name is right. Stoops.
Exactly. And, I mean, Twitter is my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Football season. It's so great. When that came out, I was just watching everyone's reactions, like Rod B. and it was just so funny to watch everyone's reactions, and it was very, very relieving to know that it didn't come to fruition.
Yes.
For whatever reason. But yeah, no, it's been fun. I mean, again, and that's even part of it, just being on Twitter and the camaraderie, and again, you know, all the players even coming out and, you know, that the trepidation of, okay, well, what is this going to look like? You know, we had a different coach who we loved and we followed and we were passionate about, you know, a week ago. And then now today it's a whole new regime. What's it going to look like? And it just seems like all the players are on board.
Yeah.
And that, well,
And we had one of the texters just text in and say that, you know, Ashley, you're right on electric, but his concern is that we felt the same electricity 4 years ago when Tom was coming in.
Absolutely. That's why we said it. I mean, that's what I was saying about the past 10 years. Like, this isn't the first time. This isn't the second time. It's the third time in 10 years that we've felt this new, you know, whether you like Charlie Strong or not, it was a new era in Texas football. And at the time, unfortunately, people were calling for Mac Brown's head, you know,
yeah.
Everything he accomplished at the University of Texas. But after that 2009 national championship, like, things weren't great at UT. Will Muschamp was coach in waiting, and then that didn't come to fruition. And so then it's like, okay, well, we've got this new coach, this new, and people were hopeful, myself included. And then that didn't pan out. And then, you know, yeah, it was electric. I was on board. Yeah. I was on that wagon saying, let's go, 4 years ago when Herman came in. I mean, I had the greatest hope.
Yeah, and he was a Texas guy.
Notre Dame's 2 overtime game, you know, I was on the field that day, and just, it was a different feel at the University of Texas. And for whatever reason, you know, we're just looking at a different program December 2020. And so now, yeah, here we are again. And I'll use the two words I've used pretty much my entire adult life about Texas football. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, with this is the first time, you know, you had somebody coming in that, you know, like Sarkisian, he is a proven guy. He's a proven coach who has won national championships.
Right.
At Alabama. Tom Herman never won a national championship, you know.
Right.
As a head coach.
Resume.
Yeah.
Well, and he didn't have the experience of coaching over on the West Coast. He didn't have the experience coaching, you know, across the field from Texas. Well, I guess he did at U of H, but not only the national championship when Sarkisian was over at USC, but then to be able to coach for years under Nick Saban, who is the greatest. I mean, just, you know, I whatever you feel for that guy,
right?
Watching him at the national championship and knowing that's his 7th and his 6th with this program, I just, all the respect in the world.
Indeed.
And knowing that, you know, our new guy has been under his tutelage for the past how many ever years, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Cautiously optimistic, but, the feel coming out, at least on social media, the feel coming out from the university is one that, okay, we're on board. We're going to go in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full steam ahead.
All gas, no brakes, right?
All gas, no stoops. All gas, no breaks.
Yeah, and one of the things, another texted in and was saying, you know, the assistant coaches that Sarkisian is bringing in makes this staff already better than what Chuck Strong and Herman brought in on their coaching staffs.
Right.
And I think the experience level that we're seeing with these guys, I mean, Kwiatkowski is coming in, and he's been up in the Northwest for, shoot, his entire career.
Right.
You know, he hasn't seen, you know, the effects of, you know, Texas high school football leaking into the college level and even into the pro level as well. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of defense he brings. We know he's going to have some talented players to put in the right position, but can he get those guys to play in the right positions, to make the right calls, to adjust to the offenses? I think the excitement is real.
No, absolutely. And I think, too, you know, what is this going to do for the Big 12?
Yeah.
Because you do have a smorgasbord of coaches coming from all over the country with all different backgrounds and experiences, and bringing them all together in this melting pot that is the University of Texas. And you know, let's hope all boats rise, right? And so this will just push and challenge the Big 12 even further to be a more elite conference. But I think it's overdue, and I think it's what needed to happen. So,
but we need the product on the field has to change.
100%.
And that's what, you know, everybody's all in, you know, all gas, no brakes, no stoops, whatever you want to say it. But we have to see winning football on the field. If Sark can come in, I'm not saying he's got to go undefeated and win the Big 12 next year, but
sure,
that's a possibility that I think is real. If you get the right guys in there, because the talent on the team is there. It's just a matter of getting that talent out, translated onto the field, and to perform at that high level.
Not rotating him in and out during the games. No, I completely agree. And the thing about it is he's coming in with ample time to really start from the ground up, build this program so that by the time September rolls around, they're ready to go. And excuse me. And I know.
God bless you. God bless you.
Every once in a while, you've got those lingering effects. But, mm-hmm. No, it's, you know, it's an exciting time, but I agree with you, Johnny. Like the results on the field, you've got to prove it. You've got to show up. You've got to prove it. You got to get the W on Saturday.
Yeah, and I feel like,
So.
watching Sark come in, going to the Texas high school coaches, I feel like he's getting some really good advice from the powers that be of how things really work down here in the state of Texas. He's got a different
Right.
energy, I think, than Tom. Police Chief Cantu mentioned that it's not a arrogance that I think some people interpreted Tom's actions as. Sark's is a confidence, not an arrogance.
Right, absolutely. And it's one of those things where you don't want to come into a program like the University of Texas where you do have, let's be honest, one of the, biggest forces is the boosters,
Correct.
where you've got all of this tradition. It's steeped in tradition. You don't want to come into a program like this and clean house and say, this is how we're going to do it. You get in, you get to know the program, you get to know the people, and then you make your suggestions. And it seems like he's got the maturity and he's got the experience enough to do that effectively.
Yeah.
Whereas the previous two, regimes maybe didn't, like you said, it was that cockiness. I just want a coach that's going to come in and be that authoritative figure. I almost felt like Herman at the end was just trying to be buddies with the guys.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
he was well respected by the teammates. They did love him. That was plainly obvious and evident to anyone watching that team. They did have a very cohesive unit. But I felt like it would have been nice to see him more in that authoritative role instead of a bro. And again, not having been in that locker room, not knowing, the ins and outs of the cultures, it's easy to sit here and speculate, but I'm excited for the maturity that Sark will bring to this program and the experience.
Yeah, no, I agree, Ash, and appreciate you calling in this morning. Casey had to bolt and go
Yeah.
down to Whitfields for a little bit and
Oh my gosh, I
get the
miss
pit ready to
Whitfield.
go. Yeah, we need to get, I'm sure Casey's listening right now. Maybe we can get him to special delivery to y'all's house and drop off some barbecue on the front porch or
Right,
something.
wouldn't that be great? Yeah, don't just ring the doorbell and walk away.
That's
So,
it.
no, I do want to encourage. Like I said, it's not that I didn't take it seriously before, but now after having had it for a prolonged, month of
Yeah.
January 2021, just everybody wash your hands and be careful. Social distance.
Well, get to
But
feeling
no, thanks,
better.
Johnny. It's
We
good to talk to you.
look forward to getting you back into the studio here, hopefully next week or the week after.
Yeah,
But
I'll see y'all next Saturday. I'll see y'all next Saturday. And everybody be sure to go follow us on social media at Big Ugly Tailgate.
there you go. I didn't even have to say it. And we'll be right back with
No.
more Big Ugly Tailgate right after the break. Well, Beastie Boys on a Saturday morning. Wake up, Austin, Texas. It is a beautiful day. A little overcast, about 50 degrees. You get the opportunity, make sure you head down south to get yourself some Whitfield's barbecue. Casey's got a full menu today. Pulled pork, ribs, brisket, pickled everything sidewise. I believe he's got some
everything.
Kolaches he may have even pickled. Can you? Yeah, you can't do that, but. I'm joined with Jamie Frazier in downtown Willie Brown. What's up, guys?
Good morning.
How are y'all today?
Yes. Happy, excited.
I'm doing fantastic
Hanging out with
today.
Johnny.
Indeed. Well, we had a caller that called in and was asking a little bit about, why, the reports have been out that Drew Brees is going to retire at the end of the year.
11 broken ribs, a collapsed lung, a torn rotator cuff. What else? A foot problem? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's he hasn't come out and said anything yet. He's the only thing that Drew's come out and said is that I'm going to do exactly what I do every year, take some time off, relax, be with the family, and make some decisions together. But when you hear Jay Glazer come out and say that this is going to be Drew's last game ever in the Superdome, watch, enjoy, appreciate, because it's probably not going to happen. So if you're asking me why I think Drew doesn't come back, I think he's had enough, to be honest with you.
Let's just say it's father time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's 41, 42 years old.
Just turned 42 years old.
He's lit it up for 20 years in the league.
There's not a lot left for Drew to accomplish? I mean, Drew's been Super Bowl, yes. I mean, you want to win more Super Bowls, but if you look at it from a standpoint of you get to a certain point in life and you start weighing, you know, the benefits versus the disadvantages, and when you're 42 and you've just played through a season, and by the way, there's been other seasons where Drew and guys like him have played and you don't know anything about what they've really gone through during that season. But we know that he had the 11 broken ribs and a punctured lung. We know that he had a torn rotator cuff. We know he's had some issues throughout the last two seasons. But again, he doesn't have anything left to prove.
But I know what I love is like Rivers, like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go coach high school football in Alabama.
Deuces.
Yeah. Okay. I'm out.
And that guy will be so happy doing that for the rest of his life.
Him and his 12 kids.
Well, you know, now him and his wife can finally focus on their family.
That's right.
You know, starting that, I think he came out and said that in response to somebody. But you know, Philip Rivers is one of those guys that, you know, initially I was not a big fan of Philip Rivers because he's the guy who came in and took Drew's spot in San Diego. And so then it was like, you know, I pitted those two against each other for pretty much the rest of their careers and would never give, you know, Philip Rivers really the time of day.
But not his fault.
Yeah, not his fault. But again, you look at what Philip Rivers was able to accomplish. Didn't win a Super Bowl, but you can't have an honest conversation about top quarterbacks the last 20 years in the NFL without including him in the conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, Drew?
No, I'm talking about Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers, yeah. He's probably one of the best 5 to 10 quarterbacks in the last 20 years.
Would you say he's probably the best that hadn't won a Super Bowl?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
You'd say Marino. Did Marino win a Super Bowl?
No.
He went to Super Bowl.
Went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he didn't.
His first or second year.
Yeah,
but Marino went to Super Bowl in his rookie year.
Yeah.
I think he never went back.
Correct.
He got all the hype early and just had I think Marino had a stellar career, like stats-wise, but he never made it back.
Yeah, I think.
And that's why he got a lot of hype early.
He was in the playoffs because I remember he played, I think, what did they play? The 49ers? And his last game was just atrocious. It was like the worst game he had ever played. And he's like, yeah, I'm out.
See, I'm out. Deuces.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, but Drew, if he does retire, I mean, he's still kind of going out on top.
Right.
You know, like he never had a team that was just terrible in New Orleans when he was playing. They're always playoff contenders. Everybody was always talking about the Saints as a Super Bowl contender.
Indeed.
And he was the stamp that put New Orleans on the map.
True.
You know, before New Orleans was just dog, you know what.
Well, before I think New Orleans had only won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Before they got there.
How bad did that Miami trainer screw that up?
Yeah.
Because when you go in there and they said,
they wouldn't clear him.
Yeah, it wouldn't clear him. And the next thing you know, 60,000 yards later and... Yeah. A million touchdowns.
Well, if you want to look back, how bad does Mac Brown feel that he didn't pick?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, let's keep going.
It all works itself out.
It was all turned.
Well, I get that, but that's interesting in Miami because they kind of had the whole Nick Saban tie-in.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what Nick's final straw, I guess, was to go to Alabama and started that whole dynasty was predicated on, from what I know, is Breeze getting hurt.
Yeah,
clear to play.
Peter Burns, who's the anchor of the SEC Network, had a good Twitter post on this and how that decision right there, we'll take Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees, the ramifications of that, I mean, changed the landscape of college football for forever. If Drew goes to Miami and they win a couple Super Bowls, Saban's never at Alabama, and who knows who is that team. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe they bring in another guy and Alabama rolls as well. But
yeah, but they're not 6-7 natties later. I can tell you that.
Did you hear this week they were talking on ESPN about Jaguars owner? He's playing
Sam Kahn.
Yeah, he's playing the card that, hey, I want to move. You're not going to build me a stadium. I want to move. And I feel so sad because, of course, again, they're kicking San Antonio out as a perfect city for them to go to, which they've done so many times for the Raiders. If you look at the market, it's like the biggest market without a professional team.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're like, so... But I get...
Stick that stadium between here and San Antonio, and it is... But Jerry will never allow that to happen.
It won't. And that's... But what I feel bad about is that San Antonio, people in San Antonio get so excited about, the Raiders, because they always use them as like, hey, a sexy girlfriend over here. And they never take...
Saints. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saints, right after Katrina, they were threatening to move the team to San Antonio.
Yeah.
But I think San Antonio's the wrong Texas town. I think we got to be right here in the in Austin, Texas.
For the NFL?
Yeah.
I disagree with you 100%.
Why is that?
Because this is a University of Texas town. If you get that, if you get this back going to a top five program, that's your football. I think baseball would work in Austin.
Okay.
MLB, and you only have to have a huge stadium. It's one of those deals is you don't compete with University of Texas in baseball. The baseball season for college is, what, February through June?
Mm-hmm.
You know, baseball doesn't get – nobody really pays attention to baseball until after the All-Star break in July. I mean, there's so many beautiful – take Barton Creek Mall, take that Simon property, tear it down, put a baseball stadium there, build all this greatness, have the downtown as the backdrop, make Wrigleyville-type bars, shops, restaurants, tear that damn mall down now, Austin.
I mean, maybe finally Wesley could catch a break, you know?
Yes, yes. You know, you got two highways there. I think you can kind of, you know, move people in and out of there and just...
Yeah, but I have a dream that of an NFL coming to Austin, Texas. You know, we're the 10th largest city in the United States. It's the biggest market between here in San Antonio. It's got to be the biggest market in the country without a professional football team.
Right.
And if California can have 3 to 4 teams, if Florida can have 3 teams, why can't Texas?
Hell, they're sharing a stadium in
yeah.
L.A.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, the Chargers and the Rams. Yeah. I mean, but it's a nice stadium now.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to start paying a little bit more attention to those L.A. Chargers.
Well,
they're really putting together a real good coaching staff.
In that quarter,
I think I might wean myself off the Chicago Bears a little bit and really start paying attention to that powder blue.
This foreshadowing.
Come on, let's go, Brandon Staley.
I would love to go to that stadium. I really want to go to the both new stadiums, the L.A. and Vegas.
We need to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
We'll do a Vegas trip for a game.
I am so jonesing to be at a sporting event.
I know.
I mean, I don't care. I don't care.
Something.
Give me something.
I went to the Stanley Cup in Vegas, and I had a blast. Great time. It was amazing. It was the amazing part. It's 110 degrees outside, and you can go inside, and you're like, oh, look, ice. There's ice. Yeah.
Well, we're going to take one last break, and we'll be right back here for more Big Ugly Tailgate. Good morning, Austin, Texas. What is going on? Beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Got a big UFC card tonight. Conor McGregor.
Oh, really?
Fighting tonight.
Who's he going up against?
Piero? Is that the guy's name?
Is this a real fighter?
Are we
doing YouTube stars?
No. He's actually fighting a real UFC fighter.
Does McGregor want to get back into the boxing ring at all?
Poirier is who he's fighting.
Poirier.
Yeah.
That's something I wish I could get into. I really can't get into fighting.
You know, it's taken me a while. You know, I've been following, not real strong, but following UFC for probably 10 years now. And when the big fights come up, they're fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody gets, you know, they put on their bedazzled shirts and bedazzled jeans. What was the affliction?
Affliction. Yeah.
Did you have some affliction?
No.
I feel like Jamie Frazier would rock just bedazzled affliction.
What is it? And Ed Hardy?
Yeah, like Ed Hardy, the dragon
Jamie.
Shirts.
Yeah, they'd go with my bedazzled
Absolutely.
Jeans.
Did somebody spray paint on your back?
Yeah. That's
what Jamie over here trying to bedazzle his Cheezos boots.
Yeah. Love them Cheezos.
That's it. We did have a caller that wanted to kind of for us to go through the University of Texas's schedule for next year. Looking forward to 220.
I mean, the first two teams are ranked teams.
Louisiana, Raging Cajun.
They went
on September 4th.
They went 10-1. I think.
Yeah, they played good football last
year.
They
lost to that Florida team.
Well, weren't they in
Florida
the
Atlantic?
Yeah.
No, Coastal Carolina.
Coastal. Yeah.
They only lost, I think, by 3 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good game. Texas follows that up with a trip to Fayetteville, Arkansas. Play the Razorbacks. Now, their coach got them going this year. There's been some new energy down there in Arkansas, and you know they're calling them Hogs.
Well, I'd like to see a W there, but that's always a tough place to play if you're University of Texas. I've been there. I've been to a Texas-Arkansas game there, it is wild.
It's a rivalry that mm-hmm. really predates mm-hmm. you know our time
predates
here in Austin.
All of us, yeah.
You know that they were the two big schools back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, the game of the century,
indeed. So you got that game. Then we got the Rice Owls on September 18th coming down to Austin. Don't know much about Rice.
But no, but it should be a layup.
That should be a game that that Texas kind of flexes on them a little bit, you know, see what they got, you know, who's going to be that quarterback. You know, at that point, who is going to be the quarterback?
I don't know. I guess we'll have a quarterback competition this season. I mean, obviously, if you watch the second half of the Alamo Bowl, there's a you're excited about the upside
Casey
of Casey Thompson.
Absolutely.
You really are. And I, there's no doubt the Hudson Card kid behind him is a talent, too.
He's a guy, I mean, everybody's saying, can't wait to see this guy play. He's going to be the next big deal at Texas. Well, but, like, I thought Casey Thompson stepped in and did an incredible job.
Johnny, I was that guy. I thought, you know, Card's the guy that's going to hop in. And then I watched the second half of the Alamo Bowl, and I'm like, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
So
I think we're going to be a running team.
I don't know. That number five, he can light it up, isn't he? That's a good guy to have next to you if you're
Bijan
the quarterback.
All day.
Whoever's the quarterback.
If you're not handing him the ball, get it to him in the flats.
Well, I mean, you
screens.
You watch Najee Harris play. That guy could catch the ball. He could run some routes, too. Bijan can be that same type of player.
Indeed. Could be. He had a big smile on his face.
Do we open up with
Louisiana Lafayette?
I
think they're the Raging Cajuns.
But they're University of Louisiana now. Louisiana U.
Which one did Terry Bradshaw go to?
He was La Tech.
You know, LSU had put the stop on the University of Louisiana for years.
Yeah.
They would not let them change that name.
Yeah, LSU's been able to do a lot of what they want in that state for a long time.
So who do we have after Rice?
So you got Rice. Then we start Big 12 play. You got at Baylor, which, you know, Baylor should be improving. Maybe. Then you go to Iowa State.
Tough game.
Yep.
Back-to-back road games.
Their coach is staying.
Then you come back the next week, and you got the mighty, mighty Horned Frogs coming down to...
Oh, my gosh.
Or actually, no, you're at TCU. So you have three straight road games for Texas next
year. Iowa State has coach coming back, their entire football team coming back.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough game. And that's their second week on the road. So they go at Baylor, at Iowa State, at TCU. Then you got back-to-back home games, Kansas and Kansas State, which hopefully that's a take care of business.
You can go 2-0 there.
Absolutely. Then you got the Red River Shootout, or can we call it?
I don't know what you call it, no U game.
Kansas State Deuce, the running back, the little tiny guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing.
Yes.
And he's a local kid, too.
Yeah, but they got lit up this year by Texas.
It did, but he was just...
I think he played a good game,
like,
though.
This kid, he's like 5'6". It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And then you got the last three games after Texas OU. You're home against Oklahoma State. You're home against Texas Tech. But then you got to head out east and go to West Virginia. That's a tough place to play on the road.
Yeah.
Especially in December, most likely. It's going to be cold.
Well, where do you look... What do you think about the Big 12, their strength of conference? I mean, the argument's been kind of made this year. SEC, Big 10, their Ohio State and Alabama top heavy, and everything else looks like the Big 12. And Clemson, you know. Do you kind of like see Arkansas as like a TCU type of player?
Maybe. I mean, I think Arkansas's got to win ball games, like TCU has proven over the last decade, at least against Texas.
I mean, is it okay to start saying that Iowa State's a better football program than the University of Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody keeps saying SEC is all this greatness, glory, but I'm going to argue that there's some smaller schools in the Big 12 that are going to beat these storied programs in the SEC.
Well, they're doing it in the bowl games.
Yeah,
you're seeing that.
What, 5 or 6-0?
Correct. But, of course, SEC's never lost a game in postseason that they really cared about.
Well,
right?
they didn't really want to win those games.
Correct. They just, you know, it was postseason. Yeah. They were already moved on to the next year, whatever you want to call it.
The real season already happened, right?
But you look at the Big 12, and obviously Texas, OU are kind of the top-heavy two teams for the past decade, probably only OU being the top-heavy, you know. Yeah. Then you've got that second tier, your Oklahoma State, your TCU. Baylor's been pretty good in the last decade.
Hot
and cold, but, you know, not seeing a lot of consistency through Texas Tech. That's just kind of them. That's Tech's MO. There's that. You go to Lubbock to play, you don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Well, thank God that game will be here.
Indeed. But, you know, and West Virginia is always
will Oklahoma State ever take the next step? I mean, we always talk about the Oklahoma State.
I don't think so until Until Lincoln Riley's gone?
You're probably right about that.
You know, I just think Oklahoma has such a well-oiled machine. It's going to be really hard to knock those guys off. You got Spencer Rattler, the number one quarterback, you know, in the country a couple years ago, was a freshman this year. He is a real deal. I don't care much for his personality. Okay. I mean, I watched him on, I think he was on one of those shows, either ESPN or Amazon Prime, where they follow the quarterback throughout the year. He's kind of a jerk, to be honest with you.
But isn't that
but he's a high school cocky quarterback.
But isn't that the MO of OU quarterbacks?
Absolutely.
I mean, did you really like Baker or Kyler? They're
Kyler
kind of
Murray
like that.
Was the same way.
That arrogant kind of.
Jalen Hurts was actually not.
I know. Jalen Hurts was the one guy that was the opposite.
Correct. But you look at Baker, you look at those guys, Kyler and them, like, yeah, they were the easy choice to not like.
Yeah.
Because of that personality of theirs.
Yeah.
But that's also what made Baker Mayfield great.
Absolutely.
Was the fact that his entire life he's felt like everybody's against him. Whether it was TCU who promised him a scholarship and didn't give it to him, whatever. But he's taken that chip and turned it into something special.
Cleveland won a playoff game, and that's like winning a Super Bowl in Cleveland, right?
There you go.
I mean,
They haven't seen that
mic,
in a minute.
Walk away.
he should retire on top.
That's it.
Indeed. Just call it a day here. But, gentlemen, that's gonna do it for us here on the Big Ugly Tailgate. Thank you for stepping in. You know, Casey had to roll and go down to Whitfield's Barbecue, but appreciate you guys being here. Always fun to hear what you guys have to say. It's great to hear from Ashley. She's feeling better. You know, want you to get those fluids in, you know, get well. We need you back in here in the radio station. But and Casey, always good to have you in here, and good luck with the barbecue today. If you get the opportunity, go down there and order a bunch of barbecue from Whitfield's.
That's it.
That's it, guys. Adios.
See you.